Right now, a couple of our men are passing out papers here for you. You're getting this paper here. I've been working this week on a subject of the church, and started out just studying when the church met, and it just became a great study, and all of a sudden my sermon changed, and we're going to be talking about the purpose of the local church. The church is God's agency for reaching the world. And we have a new year, and it's wonderful to have that opportunity. I will not get to all of these sermons unless you want to stay to 2 or 3 o'clock. Okay? And But I have printed this up and got a lot of Bible verses and tried to just be as clear as I could. And it doesn't cover everything, but it's neat to realize the church. What exactly is the New Testament church? In the Old Testament, the synagogue was the main place. In the Old Testament, the Jewish synagogue is where they were educated. The kids were educated. The Jewish synagogue is where they met for worship on Friday night and Saturday. And it was the place where their social events, where they got married. It was just their community center, their religious center, their education center. And that was the Old Testament. God entered the New Testament and formed the church with Gentiles and Jews alike and all peoples of the world. And he created an organism, an organization, a beautiful thing. Friday night, if you weren't here Friday night, you missed the best picture of the church in action. We just had a great time here eating and fellowshipping till about 11 o'clock. And there were 14 rooms being used of 14 different things, and people were in all 14 of them just enjoying each other and enjoying the Lord. And it was just beautiful. I have the privilege of those nights of walking around and seeing everybody, and I just enjoy that so much. The church. God created the church. It's like having a family reunion on Sundays, is it not? It's just a family, and it's us with God and one another. And God created the church, and it's a wonderful position, and we want to be as biblical as we can. In the first point, I'm right going down the page there, if you have that copy. What exactly does the New Testament church look like in 2017? And the first one is just, the church is all about Jesus. Is that right? Upon this rock, I will build my church. And that rock was the doctrine, the truth of who he was, what he was doing, his saving work, his empowering. It's all about Jesus. It's not about anybody else. It's all about Jesus. And we need to keep the church all about Jesus. And I like that. But in our text here this morning is Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. I've just walked through this text and described the church. I trust you can find all of these things in it. I have it in front of you here. I hope you can read it there, but it's on the paper. I hope everybody has a paper. If you do not have a paper, we want you to have one. Rick, walk down the aisle there and make certain everybody's got a paper. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received the word, they've been preached to, witnessed to, they've gotten saved, were baptized, okay, people getting saved, people getting baptized, and the same were added unto them. I want you to know there was some type of organization, the word them, they knew who they were. Look down in verse 47, the last verse of this section. It says, added to the church daily. The church, a distinct group of people, local group of people. Down in Acts chapter 5, second one up from the bottom, or the third one up from the bottom, verse 1, it says, when the number. So we do not know how they kept records or whatever, but there was a number. You were the church. Are you of the church? Yes, I'm of the church. and I'm of the number. And in verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, choose among you. So they knew who it was that the church was. Acts chapter 20, right at the bottom of the page, verse 7, second one up, it just says, the disciples. The apostles led the church at the beginning, but all of them were called the disciples. So they knew who they were, and they were a number, and they were called the church, and they were referred to as them and you. And so there was some type of organization, and because go help one another, and they knew exactly. So the church was there. Verse 41, back at the top of the page, verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. Here's the best description of a church: in the apostles' doctrine, in the teachings of Jesus through the apostles, the New Testament, and fellowship, blessing one another, and in breaking of bread, communion, what we just had, in prayers. To have a church, you got to have communion, got to have prayers. And the fear came upon every soul. You got to have the fear of God. I'm going to obey it. Why? Because God said so. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We are past the apostolic age, and the miracles of the sign gifts there have passed. They've fulfilled their purpose of authenticating the apostles and fulfilling the scriptures getting read. But I still look for miracles. I love God to do stuff. I love God to save somebody. I love God to change people's lives. I love God to put marriages together. I love God to see teenagers do better. I love God when He does stuff. And I'm trying to get into His plan, but I don't know His plan. And then I just know if I'm active, involved in trying to do something for Him, He shows up. And if I actively read my Bible, He'll talk to me. Is that right? And you realize, wow, this is great. And if I'm trying to help somebody, He'll help them. And I've been praying for people, and I walk into a store, and there they stand. I'm sitting there going, oh, this is cool. And you realize God's here, and I want God to be in my life. And so the miraculous there, don't ever run from that. Verse 44, and it says, and all that believe, so the church's believers, were together and had all things common. This is one thing that the helping of brother, our church does that so much. I trust you're a part of that helping, and if you're a part of the receiving, I trust you in allow that to happen. Because for somebody to give, somebody has to what? Receive. So there is both, and there'll be a time when you're on the giving end, and there'll be a time when you're on the what? The receiving end. So work that. This was big deal. Two verses. Another group of verses talks about this. Verse 44. And all that believed were together, harmony, unity, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all man as every man had need. The church was coming together. There was people who in need. If you had gotten saved in those days as a Jew, you would have gotten thrown out of the synagogue. You would have gotten dismissed from your family. You might have lost your job. Is this true? This was happening. And so there was legitimate need. There wasn't lazy people running around. Verse 46, and it says, and they continued daily. Should Jesus and the life of Jesus and the church be a daily event in your life? Daily. It's to dominate us. Do you know that our world is trying to dominate your life? Have you figured that out yet? Yesterday you were to be dominated by football. Today you're to be dominated by. Tomorrow you'll be dominated by. I'm glad these days are over sometime. And they have it saying, you know, one's going off and another's coming on. Is that right? Another one's going off. Another, they got it all planned out. The theaters, they have it all worked out that the theaters are, the movie comes on and McDonald's has it and Burger King has it and everything. Y'all figured it all out? They're wanting to dominate your life. And one goes out and the other's coming in, and it's all into all the stores and and all of the gimmicks and all the toys and everything, is it? And it just, it's dominating. Jesus said, I want the life that I give you to dominate your every day, all day. And I give you the church that you will be involved in, and there will be teaching, and there will be preaching, and there will be communion, and there will be prayers, and then there will be times of helping one another, and there will be times of giving and receiving, and then there'll be times that it's just dominates your life, and you'll realize, wow. And I trust you realize that it's just great. Verse 46, and it says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, whether they were in their houses, they were in each other's houses, they were in the temple, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. They were sharing all over the place, praising God. That is the ultimate. Note the praising God is at the end, because you got to see God doing stuff and you praise Him. It's very important. And then it says, and having favor with all the people. I had to look that one up. Is this Christians or is this the world? And it says they were having favor with all the people of the world. People were seeing that this group of people takes care of each other. And I want what you have. And they were having, wow. And they realized, y'all care, y'all love, y'all take care of, y'all fellowship, y'all are of one accord. And it says, and the Lord added to the church. So there was a group here, designated, identifiable group, and people were getting saved. So there was evangelism and discipleship going on. And you realize that's the church. Look at the green part right above where it says Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. It says, the New Testament church is, this is the best definition I could come up with, very simple. It says, organized believers, baptized, studying doctrine, observing communion, earnestly praying, fellowshipping with one another in harmony, giving sacrificially to meet church needs, praising God, all in the fear of God. Wow, it's the biggest statement. Resulting in evangelism and discipleship. That's the church. God created this institution, this living, breathing organization, and it's wonderful. I trust you take enjoyment in it, to come to church. There's just nothing like the church in worship, the church in study, the church in fellowship, the church in meeting each other's needs, and in church in evangelism, the church in discipleship. It is just neat there. I'm going to go down to the second section here in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. I'm not going to read that. It just reiterates the giving and the meeting each other's needs. When one had a need, everybody jumped in and helped. There is a lot of that going on in our church. I don't know how to say it, but it's not too public. And it just happens. It happens. If somebody's in need, people jump in there and help. I trust you get into that, and you see a need. If you see somebody's need and you can help it, should you do it? Yeah. And that's the brotherhood. That's the family. And that's what all of these believers were, of one heart and one soul. And we're going to help one another. And that was Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. And then Acts chapter 5, verse 42 to chapter 6, verse 3. They met daily for teaching and preaching. Every day. You know, we meet a lot. But they met every day at the beginning. And for teaching and preaching. And then the organized church met the physical needs of each other. They were there helping one another. Amazing, amazing. And they got bigger, there was an organizational problem of taking care of the widows. Is that right? The Jewish widows and the Gentile widows. And they were, the Gentile widows thought they were getting missed, overlooked, and the Jewish widows were. And so there was a problem. problem. And they created the deacons to settle the problem and meet the problem. Is that right? And as organization of the church grows, you have that. And that's just neat to see that happen. So when a problem arises, they meet that need in the family and the brotherhood and fix it. And it's pretty neat. That's what there was for, and God created. We're brothers. We're a family. When one hurts, what's it supposed to do? All hurt. When one's blessed, all is blessed. And it's a great thing. At the bottom of the page, Acts 20, verse 7, they met on the first day of the week. The Sabbath is Saturday, Friday night and Saturday. And the first day of the week is Sunday. And as much as we can tell, they met on the first day of the week because of the resurrection. So if people think they're going to come to church on Easter, tell them that every Sunday is Easter. We're celebrating Easter every Sunday. And on the first day of the week, so the Jews were on Saturday. The church started meeting on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And the next one, 1 Corinthians 16, 2. It says, on the first week they started gathering and for preaching. Now note it says, how long on Acts chapter 20, verse 7, how long did that service last? How long? Talk to me. Let's do it. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Paul was there for a particular task. He had to leave the next day. He'd probably never see him again. And so it just went on and on and on. And somebody fell out of the top and died in the middle of the service. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody die in a service and raise them to life? Wow, you go, wow. And this was happening. And God does miracles. God does some wonderful things. I love to see people's lives change. That is the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is when an unsaved, hell-bent sinner gets saved and their life changes and they're starting to live like they're on their way to heaven. Huh? The greatest miracle. And greater than, if you get healed of a disease or something, usually in a couple years you die anyway. But the greatest miracle is the salvation miracle. And the greater things to see, that change of life in people, it is wonderful. Change is, wow, God's changed me. Yes, God give me new loves, new joys, and He changed my life. Lady, at the bottom of the page in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, they were meeting, they were in the church on Sunday, giving sacrificially to meet church needs. And it was a beautiful time. There. On the back side of the page, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Does it take us all to make up the church? Takes us all. I just wanted you to catch this. This is a text in the midst of tongues and all of the things. They were overemphasizing tongues and revelations and interpretation of tongues. It was being misused, but it does describe that everybody should come ready to share. We do probably more sharing in our Sunday school classes and on Sunday nights. And I trust you do it through the week. Calling, Facebooking, texting. Can you use some of that to beautiful? Beautiful. Sharing. And it says, how is it then, brethren? Question. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm. They're reading the Bible and they have a psalm, or they're singing a psalm, hath a doctrine. They have some truth out the Bible that's jumped out, and then hath a tongue, and hath a revelation, hath interpretation. He said, those things are ceasing, but y'all are trying hard. All things be done to edifying. It's wonderful to realize. I trust you come to church bubbling. Bubbling. Well, this prayer was answered this week. If you're not bubbling, I trust somebody bubbling around you lifts you up. And that's what the church is for, that we realize that I'm singing, why are you singing? God did this. God said this. God showed me this. God used me here. This truth. And he says, we're to be a part. And so the church is a group of believers that are sharing with one another, using their spiritual gifts with one another to minister to each other. And we're all participating. There is no room for spectators, huh? And I trust you feel that's a part. That's what church is for. And I trust it to this year in 2017 that you become more involved. Well, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, if you would ask a couple people, you could find something to do real quick to serve God. You should have a job here at this church. Is that right? You should have a job. You should do, what do you do? I do this. I sing in a choir. I clean this. I do this. I help here. And we need us all, every one of us. Is that good? Every one of us. And you get more faithful. The more faithful you are, the more you'll be used. To just bless. If you see somebody in need, meet that need. And it's wonderful to catch that. Colossians, the next one down, is on music. There's not much music in the New Testament. There's a few verses. Mainly they were in persecution and running for their lives. So when persecution arises, music in church history usually died. But the music that you have should be something that is just beautiful and rich in Christ and rich in grace and joyful there and not having fleshly, worldly influence. Is that right? That's very, very important there. And then leadership came. There was a time when they started ordained deacons and pastors, and the leadership came in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 28 of Acts, and in 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3, the leaders there had to be holy and humbly leading by example. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, following, encouraging the leaders, very important. This church does a great job of that. Praise God for leaders. Amen? That's very important. And be that leader. Grow to be that leader. I want to camp on the next one is Acts 1:8. The church is all about local evangelism and world missions. Is that true? Once you get the fellowship going and it's strong and it's people start seeing that, man, y'all love one another, y'all have truth, y'all have worship, y'all have prayer, y'all have communion, y'all have studying the Word, and y'all are blessing one another, and there's evangelism and discipleship and a local church, it spreads not locally but globally. And we have a great global missions involvement. It's on the TV in the room over here in the hallway. It shows all of our missionaries. And on our prayer sheet, it shows our missionaries. We have a lot of missionaries, and we take them very seriously. Amen? And when we have them there, it's us reaching that part of the world, huh? And we're in this part of the world. They're in that part of the world. And God said to go to all the world and preach the gospel. I like 17:17, the fourth verse up from the bottom on the back page. Acts 17:17. It says, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. What did Paul do every Sabbath day? He went to the synagogue and preached Jesus. He usually got thrown out every Saturday too. Wasn't a very popular thing, but that's how he started talking to people. He knew the Jews. What people group do you know? Where do you work? Where do you live? What hobbies do you have? What organizations are you belonging to? What age of children do you have? What activities are you involved in? That's your world. That's your world. Win your world. Paul was a Jew. Paul was trained as a Pharisee. Paul knew everything about the synagogue. He could walk in the synagogue, show his credentials, and get in line, and they would let him talk. If Peter walked into the synagogue, could he get in line and talk? No, he was a fisherman. You don't see Peter doing that. You don't see Peter going all over the world. How did Paul get to go all over the world? He was a Roman what? Citizen. Peter was a Jew in Jerusalem, and he couldn't leave Jerusalem and that area. Paul got to go all over the world. Why? Because he was a citizen of the world. And so he used what he had, and he used where he was and what he was trained in. I want you to know, you have a training, you have a world, you have an influence. In 2017, I want you to realize, I have an influence. I work at this place, and I need to let my light shine at this place, because there's somebody at this place that needs Jesus. And my kids are in school here, and I live here, and I do, I have this interest, and I have this hobby, I have this sport, my kids do this, and you're around this group of people. That's your mission field. Is that pretty cool? I like that, because that's just real. And he says, there shine. And so Paul was in the synagogue. Note the other group. And it says, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him there. He went to the market. He went to Walmart, sat down, talked to somebody. And wherever you go, blossom. Wherever you go, let Jesus go with you. And it's just missions. It's evangelism. And each of us will do it a little differently. And it's neat when the church gets involved. We're getting involved with VBS. I just love it. We're getting involved in a missions trip this summer. Brother Korn was with us in October. We got to do all kinds of local missions, didn't we? We got to lead people, Lord. It was the most fun thing I've ever done. When Brother Korn was here, it was so fun. At the end of every service, we had all kinds of non-church people here. And at the end of each service, we were out in the foyer there, getting ready to tell people about Jesus. And whole groups were there just hovering, and nobody was saying much, and everybody was praying. It was just really neat. And then when the invitation came, we got to talk to all kinds of people. And that's not an everyday event. Is that true? And to create something like that was just awesome. And how God brought all these people to us, and we got to talk to them for a whole week. It wore us out, but boy, it was a great week. And we still have people to hear today because of it. And those are the things. That's why a local church, it's wonderful to have a local church so that you can do more things than you can normally do by yourself. In a group. But you're to do it as an individual where you are daily. And then when the church gets around and do some things, it's really neat to realize that, wow, we're here for evangelism and discipleship. The last three things, and I close. There's some dangers. It says the church must never compromise its convicting preaching on sin and hell to be more culturally attractive or popular. Is that happening today? That is happening. That is happening. To be attractive and popular, we want the world to like us. I like the world to like me. But I want you to know, there are some truths in here. Before I can tell a person that they're on their way to heaven, I got to show them that they're sinners and on their way to hell, and Jesus is the Savior. And sometimes that's not culturally proper. And I need to be as nice as I possibly can, because if it wasn't for grace, we'd all be in hell. But the truth is, you can be saved, but before you get saved, you got to be lost. And it's wonderful to realize that, and we must never compromise. We have churches that are lightening up on sin. There are churches that don't use certain words because that's just not culturally astute. No. If it's the gospel, it's the gospel. Don't change it just to be popular or attractive. The next verse, Romans 16, 17. We must be on guard with false doctrine. There's people in the church, comes in the church, not beholding to what the Bible says. And when they speak up, there's a lot of false doctrine going on today. And we must never tolerate it. We must know the truth and push the truth. And if somebody's saying something that's against the Bible, we need to be as nice as we can, but we need to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And it's very, very important. And the very last one, I want to close with this. I've chosen this for the end. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Look at it with me. Then had the churches rest. Who caused havoc in the church at this time? His name was Saul. And he was killing Christians, throwing them in jail. He was doing it all the way from southern Israel to northern Israel. He was the worst. And when he run in a town, all the Christians run and hide. And all of a sudden, Saul got saved. And this is what it is. And it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, the whole place. and were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. We live in a day where persecution is low for Christians in America. About most persecution we get is made fun of sometimes. Are there places in our world right now where persecution is terrible? There's more persecution going on right now in our world than has ever been in the Christendom. And wow. And we in America, we have it pretty good. But I want you to know we need to speak up and we need to let our light shine. And when things are, it just says in the green part, look at it. It says the church, comma, when not experiencing persecution, comma, must be very careful and vigilant not to go what? Asleep. Go to sleep, to just get apathetic, to just go casual, just not take things serious, to go asleep spiritually by not walking in the fear of God and not aggressively fighting the good fight of faith in the Spirit's power. Are we in a battle? We're in a battle. And this year, we're in a battle. We're beginning a new year, and we want God to bless our church, and we must stay spiritually awake, spiritually alert. Is it easy to go to sleep spiritually? It is. And especially in the good life. You know, how many of you really had to work hard for your daily food yesterday? Did you really, wow. You know, like the boys from Zambia. The one boy from Zambia last year said he did not know where his next meal was coming from ever as a teenager. Ever. He did not know if he was going to get another meal and what or when. He did not know where he was going to sleep that night. That would change your life, wouldn't it? We have it pretty good. I don't know what to do. We live in America. I don't know what to do. All I know is in my easy life, good life, I need to fight the good fight of faith, and I need to be spiritually alert. And I need to keep realizing I need you, God. And I need to be biblical. And I need to be in my word. And I need to be praying. And I need to be seeking Him. And I need to be asking Him to work through me and around me and to me. And I want to see you work because I can't. I need you, God. I need you. I need you to help this person. I need you to help me here. I'm going to work today. Use me. God, I'm coming home from work. If I'm supposed to help somebody, show me. I'm going to the store today. Help me to be a blessing to somebody. Help me to let my light shine. I'm going to be at a sporting event tonight. Help me to let somebody know that I'm a Christian. Lord, use me wherever I go. We're not in persecution days, but we are at rest. But the church at rest edified God, kept themselves in the fear of God, and in the ministry of helping people and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Huh? I tell you to say, stay awake, alert, fired up for God. He lives. Is that right? He lives. He lives. And we need to let it be that we live in this year of 2017 and to realize God's created the church and it's wonderful. And we're a part of it. You be that part. You be helping, caring, giving, sharing, ministering, whatever. And then you realize there's a world out there that needs what we have here. And it's a blessing. And you let your light shine. Don't go asleep. Don't get to a place where you're apathetic, where so what? Wow, you know, I don't need God. Oh, you might not need Him for food or shelter or whatever, but you need Him spiritually all the time. And I find that I can get my mind on some things and I'll forget to pray for 4, 5, 6 hours, huh? And you go for a couple days and not read the Bible. Go for a couple days and not bless somebody and not be praying for somebody or trying to help somebody or trying to be an encouragement to somebody or trying to witness somebody, huh? Stay fired up. He lives. He lives. I know He lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Yeah. How many this morning say, "Preacher, I needed this message"? Raise your hand. I needed this message. I needed this message. I need this message. I my hand's up too. That's why I switch messages. God wants to work through our church. You got to be a part of that. Oh, jump in, jump in, jump in. If you're not a Christian here this morning, man, don't leave without talking to somebody about Jesus. Don't do it. If you're not sure you're a Christian this morning and God's pulling at your heart, you need something like what I'm describing, the church. Wow, you can get saved right now. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me right now. Can I pray for you? Just slip up your hand and I'll pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray with you, anybody? I'd love to pray for you. Christians, live. Live. He lives. Let him live.